Good evening. It might be really helpful if you kept your Bibles open at that reading that we've just had. And let me just pray for us. Father God, we thank you for your word that is alive. And we pray that you would use it to speak to us this evening. Amen. I wonder if you live your life with certain unsolved mysteries or things you don't understand. I know I do. For example, why are dogs' lips black? Is there such a place as sock heaven, a mysterious place where socks go that would explain the number of socks we have at home that have lost their pair? Who is the mystery person that my children, and at times my husband, expect to pick up the empty wrappers and dirty mugs strewn around our lounge? Where did my purse go when I lost it in 1992? But perhaps you've been grappling with more serious things that are a mystery to us that we don't understand. Why is there such darkness in our world? Why has this year, maybe, for you been such a struggle? Where is God when it hurts? Today's passage is famous for its use at Christmas. It has a beauty about it and makes a lovely lilting reading. But it also has a mystery to it too, doesn't it? It's not easy to make sense of. And the more I've read this passage, the more I realize how much there is within it to understand. It's probably true to say that there will always be mystery in matters of faith. I'm confident that we will never be able to plumb the depths of what the Bible has to tell us or of what there is to learn about God and his love for us. We will never fully understand what was happening when God came to earth or why he chose to come as a vulnerable baby. Yet my hope tonight, in the short time we have, is just to open up some of the mystery of this reading, that if we will hear it, can also help us in our lives today. These verses mark the introduction to John's Gospel, his own account of Jesus' life as someone who was one of Jesus' closest friends for 3 years. John says very little about Jesus' birth, because the verses after go straight on to Jesus' life as an adult. In the beginning, John starts off, was the Word. His choice of words is meant to take us right back to the book of Genesis and the creation of the world. In the beginning, God. For those first reading John's Gospel, the Word was a term with great meaning. It would have reminded some of the pagan idea that the Word was some principle of reason that lay deep within the universe. If you could get in touch with that principle, your life would find its true meaning. To them, John is saying the Word is not an abstract principle, but a person, and I will introduce you to him, he says. To Jews, the Word was a way of referring to God, and John is saying that a new Word is being spoken. In the world of the Old Testament, God regularly acts by means of his word. What he says happens. The word of God is tied up with his actions. Let there be light, God says, and there was light. You too will know the power of the spoken word. It can make you feel $1 million or very small. Words almost seem to have a life independent of us. They change the way people think and live. Will you marry me? Or you're fired? Or more recently, if you follow The Apprentice, you're hired? All these words change the path of people's lives. Although he does not use Jesus' name until later, John is describing Jesus as the Word. And this word, Jesus, has been with God from the beginning, and indeed is God. Jesus, we read, was involved in the creation of the world. He was before all time. He's been there from the very start. These are some of the deep mysteries of the Christian faith. And when John is trying to think how to describe the word, he uses creation language. He talks about life in Jesus. And through that life, light for all of us. And that light shines in the darkness and will never be overcome. John the Baptist announced that Jesus was coming, the true light, the word that swept away the darkness at the time of creation, continues to deal with the darkness in our world today. So when John thinks of his friend Jesus, he thinks of light and life. And as the word of God in his life on earth, as at the time of creation, Jesus' words and actions continue to be bound up together. He opens the eyes of the blind and then tells us that he is the light of the world. He describes himself as the resurrection and the life and then raises his friend Lazarus from the dead. We like people who do as they say and keep their word. But of course, we tend to let each other down. Not so with Jesus. What he says is always fulfilled in what he does. We can trust him when he says that he will never leave us. When he says that if we come to him, he will take our heavy burdens and he will make them light. And so the word is spoken. Verse 9 leaves us poised, as we are tonight, in expectations. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. God is speaking a new word in Jesus, pronounced in syllables of humanity, in sounds of a real person. The word is spoken. And we see that as the word is spoken, Jesus comes to a world that is broken. The word is spoken into a world that is broken. The world is in darkness, John says. It is a world that does not recognize Jesus, even though without him nothing was made that has been made. The word enters human life at a particular moment in history, and as a member of a particular race and nation. God had prepared and chosen the people of Israel, but they reject Jesus. The world is much the same today. There is darkness all around us. People don't recognize or understand Jesus. As John says elsewhere, people choose darkness rather than the light. We do not seek to receive Jesus. There is widespread rejection of him in our generation today. I wonder if that's you or me. We choose to live our lives without any reference to our Maker, and we fail to receive the life he offers and the light it brings. Perhaps we also talk about God not caring about our human struggles and say if only he would appear and give some help, well, then, we would follow him. The world is broken, and so hear these words, because this is what God has already done. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. That's in verse 14. Jesus, who is the Word, who is God, now also becomes flesh. Comes to our broken world in the form of a baby, joins us in our humanity, takes on a physical body, our frailty and our weakness, and lives a human existence. He knows what it is to feel happiness, and he shares in our sadness. He is a real human being. It's massive and hard to grasp. And in a moment we're going to sing a carol that says, lo, within a manger lies he who built the starry skies. And if our human life acts as a home for God's life, we see just how valuable we are to God as human beings. Jesus made his dwelling among us, literally pitched his tent among with us. In the Old Testament, in the desert, the presence of God was in a tent. But now the presence of God is here in the person of Jesus. God is with us. John says he has seen Jesus' glory and he is full of grace and truth. And those are terms often translated as unfailing love and faithfulness. Jesus is full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And so if you want to know who the true God is, take a long, hard look at Jesus. What we make of him and how we respond to him matter. And indeed, the exciting thing is that we are included in this passage. Verse 12 says that to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, that's anyone at all, both then and now, he gave the right to become children of God. You and I can be children of God. You don't have to be intelligent or of a certain age, gender, race, or religious background. If you receive and believe in his name, you will be born of God, and you will be nothing less than a valued and dearly loved child of God. As John wrote later in his life, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. Christianity has never been about obedience to a system or religious rites, but about a relationship and devotion to a person whose help is always available to us every hour and who loves to bless us. For all of us, whether Christian or not, the invisible God is still invisible. There is mystery that remains. But in Jesus, we can know all that we are capable of knowing about our Heavenly Father. And if you've never taken the opportunity to take a look at the person of Jesus, or would like to do so again, I would urge you to consider doing so. And maybe one way of doing that is to join our Alpha course in January, and there's information on the back of the service sheet. So at Christmas time, we remember that the word is spoken in Jesus as God came to earth in the form of a baby. And he came because our world is broken. And it's as broken now as it ever was. And he comes afresh to you and me this evening if we will but receive him. So to close, I'm going to read the final verse of our reading in a different version of the Bible than we heard, called the Message version. And it goes like this. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that tonight we remember that in Jesus your word is spoken, and spoken into our world that is so broken. We ask that his life and light touch us in a new way this evening, that we may know that we are your children. Amen.